Jen, as we always do, we're going back to the cemetery for this week's show.
I love it. Let's go.
Stone cold killer, are you surprised? This is not reality. This is not reality. This is not reality. This is not reality.
Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Joe.
Welcome back, listeners. We missed you. Hope everybody had a great week and a great start to the next week.
It is a great start for me because I'm getting a lot of stuff done.
Good. You are the man with the to-do list, and he gets them done.
I do. I do to-do.
I've never met anybody makes more to-do lists than my brother.
I have five-minute to-dos, which is one of the things, mm-hmm. On my life coaching side, I tell people, make five-minute to-dos. Just quick things,
Yeah. It does make it go easier, especially like when we're prepping for the podcast, mm-hmm. we try to, kind of outline what we want to do and get it done. And, it rolls over into your regular life too. It's like, okay, I don't make a long to-do list. Yeah. I put like 3 to 5 things on it because I know then I get them done.
That's right.
Except for my laundry. I never get that done.
But you can now because you have brand new washer and dryer.
Yes, I just want to give a shout out to my brother Joe and my other brother Willie, who came and took out my old washer and dryer, installed my new used. It's not brand new.
No.
I got it on Facebook Marketplace, people.
They're new to you.
New to me. And it's not in bad shape. It's a little scratch and dent, but it worked totally fine. They didn't see any ghosts while they were installing it in my haunted basement.
We took your haunted washer and dryer out to the curb, and it was gone within 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Joe put it as a curb alert on, and people were messaging him like, where? And I go outside not even 10 minutes later, and this guy's literally by himself lifting the washer dryer into his truck. He was a giant. I'm not kidding you. This guy was giant, and those were heavy too because there was like cement.
There's cement in the bottom of the washer. That's how they used to do it to keep them from bouncing around.
I know, and I'm just like, they're gone. But then a tire ended up in my yard somehow, so I went out in the middle of the night and I rolled it out in the street, and then I woke up the next morning. It was back in my yard, so I'm like, okay, next night. When it's really dark out or raining, I'm going to go outside and put my hoodie on, my 222 hoodie, and sneak down the street and roll the tire down the street. It's just the tire. There's no rim. It's like one of those low profile tires. I don't know how it ended up on my street. It's a haunted tire.
It's a haunted tire.
If anybody wants it.
We'll put it on eBay. Haunted tire.
Right.
But I'm also working on my wood crafts. I just started up a new Facebook page.
Yes.
Joe Shortridge's woodworking page.
Yeah, check it out. I like it.
Don't complain about the damn spelling because I spelt the name woodworking wrong.
I'll fix it for you.
Well, I can't do it for 90 days. Once you change, because I actually changed it from my blog page, which I just made a blog page and no one looked at that. I never told anybody about it. I just was like practicing. So I can't change the title. It's spelt wrong. Yes, it's spelt wrong. Don't yell at me. And has my wood products on there. I'm selling them. The garden boxes are flying off the shelf.
That's great. And, Mother's Day is coming up. And Father's Day, too. So if, you want to get something for maybe one of your elderly parents who can't, bend over to do gardening but still love to garden, the stand-up garden box is great. That's what we did for my dad before he passed away. We put it on his porch, and he was able to go out and putz around. And, now my mom just plants carnations in there in memory of my dad. So it's really cool.
And I'm telling you, that one helps because it showed me how sturdy they actually are.
Yeah.
They're heavy duty. They're not these cheap ones like people's. But another thing, today's show.
Don't buy them on Temu. Get them from Joe.
Yes. But today's show is sponsored by Jen's Poshmark Closet. If you're looking for clothing at, it's like Michigan Avenue clothing at Walmart prices. Right. But Jen's Poshmark page, The link is in the show notes. It's the first thing you'll see in them show notes. Click on that. Check out what she has. She's got a lot of summertime clothing and just all kinds of stuff.
And I do have some ghost hunting equipment on there as well. Okay. So if anybody's interested, I have some K2 meters and some dowsing rods on my Poshmark page. But, you know, save money where you can.
And the thing
is, bargain shop.
You know, with, you know, school's going to start up after the summer. Mm-hmm. You have backpacks, all that kind of stuff on there. High end, very expensive stuff for low prices, because the way you source them, you get them cheap enough that you can pass on those deals to the customer. So,
and it helps support the show. You know, we use that money to get to conventions and be able to, you know, because it is expensive. You guys know these conventions are not cheap anymore. No. You used to be able to go in and take your whole family, and now the prices are
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, we love doing it because we want to get out and meet as many of you as we can. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Joey. So help support the show any way you can. You can tell a friend. You can click on our Patreon page. Mm-hmm. We have the Patreon page going up. I'm making videos for that also. So it's almost like an exclusive show that you can't find
anywhere
else.
Join the club.
Yeah. But anyways, today's show, now that we babbled for 5 minutes. But no, you know, we offer these services, and we offer Jen's like Poshmark page for you to save a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you got to save money nowadays any way you can, and that's a great way to do it.
Economy, because right?
You're going to buy brand new clothes, some used, some brand new, or kitchen items or ghost hunting equipment, super cheap. So check it out. Click on that link and check it out.
Click it or
But today, as you know, we love cemeteries, and we love talking about cemeteries. And the thing about cemeteries is there's not, none of them are the exact same.
No.
They're all different.
Yep.
If you want to know the history of a town or city, go to the cemetery. That's where you find the names of the roads. You know, like a good example is the cemetery right down the street from us, Woodlawn Cemetery. You go in there and you see the Bennetts, you see the Lasky family, you see the
Sales.
The Sales.
Spritzer? Spitzer?
Spitzers. Yeah. You see the Libyones Fords, you know, all those.
Beautiful, beautiful mausoleums from like the, you know, early 1900s. And they're just fascinating because they're just a lost art. Mm-hmm. You know, like Joe and I love architecture, and seeing some of these old mausoleums, it's just incredible that people put that much money back in those days into these giant mausoleums for their eternal resting place.
And it was interesting because I was walking through there because I'm making a documentary on one of the tombstones, and it's a very interesting story about a chair. And I'm working on that. It's not going to come out for a little bit, but I'm working on it for you. But as we're sitting in the house here, the road, not even a quarter mile away from me, actually on both sides, Lewis Avenue and Bennett, I walk by in one of the mausoleums is the Bennett family, and the road is named after them right down the street here.
And also, if you guys are in the Northwest Ohio area, and this isn't, they don't sponsor us, but the Woodlawn Cemetery has these events. They're having they do like walks, like you can go and
Wednesday walkers. Yeah. When I worked second shift, I went there and did that.
They have that. They have historical tours, and then they have something coming up, and I don't know when it is. You guys can look at their website. It's like a historical tour and brews or something. So basically they're like doing craft beers, and then you walk around and hear the history of the cemetery, or maybe some history of the, you know, what do you call them? Tombstones or graves, I guess.
The sites,
Sites, whatever. I got fumbled in my words.
I'm going to have to look that up and see when it is, because I might go to that, even though I don't drink. But
yeah. Hey, look at Peter. You can meet some people in the cemetery.
Yeah, I know.
Live or dead, who knows? But it's interesting because they have a newsletter, too, if you guys want to sign up for it. They do these kind of things a couple times a year. And, you know, it's fascinating because you don't have a lot of historical cemeteries where they'll tell you the history.
Yeah.
But it's cool because they have beautiful walking paths, and there's tons of different trees. And, you know, Northwest Ohio is known for birding, so we have a lot of bird watchers that come. And they go into the cemetery, and, you know, Joe and I have talked on the show that every time I go into that cemetery, I see a hawk.
Yeah.
Very close to me for some reason. I don't know.
But that's like,
is it real? Like that cat that's walking through Joe's backyard right now? Sorry.
But they really embrace the fact of the history and the haunting, because they have tours and they'll talk about the hauntings, and I've been wanting to go to them, and I would love to get involved in that if I had some extra time, but
when do we have time?
Yeah, and
we're always doing stuff.
But that's the thing, is you have, wherever you live, there's historical cemeteries. Get out there and go to them, because that's where the history is, and it's just interesting. And, you know, if you ever want to take someone out on a date, you can always go walking in a cemetery. And
it's so romantic.
Yeah.
When I lived in Hollywood, at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, they would have movies at the cemetery. They would have all kinds of events, everything from, like, parties and fundraisers and, you know, funerals and mixers, movie nights, mm-hmm. you know, because they would like play some of the old classic movies, like near the graves of like some of the old classic stars, like Boris Karloff or whoever. And, you know, of course, there's all the famous people are buried there. It's so interesting if you ever get a chance to go out to Hollywood and check that out. Marilyn Monroe is not buried there.
Okay.
She's in Westwood Cemetery. And the funny thing is, I walked the entire Hollywood Forever Cemetery looking for her grave. Oh. Never found it. She wasn't even at that one. I was so disappointed, because I've always wanted to just go to her grave and see her grave. And I will someday if I ever get back out to California. But I have some really tragic news about a cemetery that I want to share with everybody. This just happened a day or two ago. Actually, April 4th. We're taping. Today's April 4th, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's so 4th. This is... you know, up to the date news. So in Wheeling, West Virginia, there is about 200 tombstones that were washed away by a mudslide. So they've had, it's spring, right? And it's, they've had torrential rains, all of, you know.
We do right now. It's raining outside right now.
Right now. And it's really, really sad. It is a beautiful, you know, historic cemetery. So thousands of people are buried at the Wheeling Mount Zion Cemetery. And the graves are dated back to the early 1800s, but there's also, you know, current people. Let's say that.
Current people? There's newer graves.
Right. Okay, that's a good way to put it. There as well. There's also about 400 veterans that are buried at the cemetery. So volunteers have, you know, cared for the cemetery for many, many years, and it's about an hour outside of Pittsburgh, but it's in West Virginia, you know. So the monuments and the topsoil was completely torn off. The caskets were not. The president of the cemetery told a local station that he believes that the graves are okay. There's 200 or so tombstones that were washed out after powerful storms hit the Ohio Valley, flooding. I mean, it happens a lot in West Virginia. People came out to look at the devastation. They're looking for their loved ones' graves. It's just really sad. There was another graveyard or a similar scene in Pittsburgh where three rivers flooded landmarks, swallowing up at Point State Park's their fountain and their stadium. So it's really sad that... you know, and it was like kind of looks, you guys can look up, or I'll put some pictures on the website. It's hilly.
Okay.
So like the mudslide came down and just washed right, carved like a path right through the cemetery. So just pray for those people whose tombstones got washed away. Hopefully, you know, maybe they have had at some point done some digital imaging or something, and they may be able to reset those if they can find them, but it may be buried under, feet of
dirt. The good thing about it is they know where it washed down to, and if it did wash all those down, they're all going to be in that dirt.
Yeah.
And they can dig them out and put them back, but, you know, another thing you got to think about is the way that it washed out. Are they going to be able to fix that? You know, maybe they can put screening under the dirt and all that and keep it back. But a lot of the cemeteries, because, I mean, I go to a lot of cemeteries and do the grave cleaning. Mm-hmm. And the office always has a map and knows where everybody mm-hmm. is buried. So with that, they'll be able to do GPS and find out where they were.
Yeah, most cemeteries are pretty flat, but, you know, it's West Virginia, it's hilly. And, yeah. You know, and being an older, you know, with graves from the 1800s, it just breaks our heart because, mm-hmm. you know, how much Joe and I enjoy being in cemeteries.
But like we say, it's where the history is. Now, an interesting thing, I know we got to get back on topic, but I'd say maybe a month ago now, I was out for my walk and I went to the cemetery to see Dad's grave to see if the little Bigfoot's still on it, I make little Bigfoots.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't on there, so I went behind the mausoleum where they put all the flowers and mm-hmm. all that. I looked for Bigfoot, I couldn't find him, so I'm going to put another one on there. But I was like, wow. Well, I got to go over to the park and walk. And I was like, wait a minute. So I just parked my car there mm-hmm. and walked the cemetery. Now, the thing is about walking in the cemetery is all the roads lead back to where you started.
Yeah.
So I got my 3-mile walk in the cemetery. And it was so interesting because no matter where you go, you end up back where your car is. So that's something you might want to think of too, is if you want to go for a walk. And I see a lot of people parking at this mm-hmm. cemetery and walking. You know, you can get your miles in. Or your steps in at a cemetery.
Yeah. It's peaceful too, mm-hmm. you know. Not like a park where you got a bunch of people out there trying to look cool in their Lululemons.
Which you can buy on Jen's page. Oh.
I have a couple pieces, but I wonder what happened to Bigfoot.
Because
it's so, you know, Joe, we saw them at some of the conventions. They're little tiny like silhouettes.
Yeah, little wood silhouettes.
Probably what, about 12 inches?
Yeah.
8, 9, 10, 12 uh-huh. inches. And have a little spike on them. And then Joe puts them, you know, in the grave. So if you have somebody that, you know, that's passed on and you want to put a little reminder, get with Joe and he'll hook you up.
They're on my list to make more. I got...
They're so cute.
I have a little pattern I use, and so I can start making them, you know.
Yeah.
The ones I had that I put on Dad's grave, I actually cut out by hand,
mm-hmm.
and now I have these patterns. I can actually make them a little faster.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, I mean, cemeteries, we love them. But the topic of today's show, we want to talk about the Black Hope Cemetery.
Okay.
This is a very interesting story that happened in Texas. So... In the 1800s, the McKinley family owned a plantation in Texas, which known as the Houston suburb of Crosby. They also owned slaves. So this was a land where they actually owned slaves mm-hmm. who worked the land and the plantation for them. When slavery ended in Texas, the McKinley family gave a portion of their land to the newly freed slaves to create a new home.
Nice.
The land became known as the Black Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So the citizens of Black Hope built a church, a school, a home, and the cemetery. But more than that, they became a community.
Mm-hmm.
The community continued for decades. This became a little town, but it ended up being destroyed by fire. So after the fire, most of the community moved to Barrett Station, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Sources say that the last burial in the Black Hope Cemetery took place in 1939, and at that time, there were over 60 individuals that were buried there. But because the markers were simple wooden crosses, weather and nature decayed them.
Mm.
The area of the cemetery was not marked or preserved. So... basically, it just fell to disrepair.
Mm-hmm.
The markers all disappeared. We've seen that a lot. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when I go to the cemetery and try to find the flat graves, and all you're doing is looking at a big field, but you know that that's all tombstones.
Mm-hmm.
So after that happened, when everybody moved out, rumors started going that there was actual curse of the cemetery. So the TV show Unsolved Mysteries ended up going to the suburb of Crosby just to see what caused the Black Hope curse.
Oh, okay. I love that show, by the way.
Yeah. So when they arrived, the thing is they found that a company bought out the land and they're actually going to build housing developments on the land. So they ended up building this housing development because in the early 80s, the Houston area was exploding. I mean, people were just going there. Mm-hmm. The properties values were really good. people were moving in, complexes were going up, so this housing development actually went up on that land. But in the early 80s, there was a couple named Sam and Judith Henley. They wanted to settle down in their own house, so they went to this, and they actually bought one of the houses. It was their dream. Mm-hmm. Their dream to buy such a nice house, and this neighborhood...
Yeah,
and this neighborhood, being brand new, had all the manicured lawns, all that. It was a beautiful area. And when they bought the house, it was, like I said, it was the house they were always looking for. Mm-hmm. Beautiful home. But there was a morbid secret about the Henley's perfect home, one that soon turned their lives into a never-ending nightmare. Sam said it all began when a mysterious man showed up at their door with an ominous warning. Now, they planned on building a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. They started marking out the swimming pool and was getting ready to dig it when they actually heard a knock at the door. He opened the door and there was this elderly gentleman standing there, and his name was Jasper Norton. Mm-hmm. Now, Jasper Norton said that he actually buried the last couple at the cemetery, mm-hmm. the last graves. He actually buried them, and he could show him where the graves were. It turns out they were right where they wanted to put the pool.
So
Mr. Henley kind of didn't believe him, but he did, because Jasper took him out to the point and said, this is where the grave sites are. Mm-hmm. So him and his wife got together, and they actually started digging to see if they could find the graves. Mm-hmm. They ended up digging down and started to hit wood. So they ended up finding two coffins, and in the coffin... there was hands with rings on them.
Oh, no.
As they touched the bones, they turned to dust, just like they do. So the wife, Mrs. Henley, she actually picked up the two rings. Mm-hmm. And she felt so bad that they desecrated this grave, mm-hmm. that she actually had them reburied, but in the same spot. They, like, you know, just covered the graves back up and did a burial of them, so that she should show respect, because she was so distraught that she actually found the remains in her backyard. They never did put the pool in. They ended up leaving the graves the way that they were. Mm-hmm. Time went on, and some crazy stuff was happening. The one day she actually saw the clock on the wall acting funny. It was like spinning. It turned like a blue glow, and sparks were flying out of it. She called her husband, freaking out, because the clock is like freaking out.
Yeah.
And she went down and found out that it wasn't even plugged in.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Weird.
Another thing that happened was she was in her home one night. Her husband was working late. And she heard the back patio door opening up and heard her husband's voice saying, "What are you doing?" So she answered him. She went downstairs and he wasn't there. And the door was still shut and still locked.
Ooh, scatty.
So things were happening. So they actually got a hold of the company that did the building, the actual
development
company. Yeah. And they said, you know, you never disclosed that this house was buried or was on a burial. They ended up taking them to court. And they actually took them to court and actually won. The jury, you know, said that they... awarded them.
Yep.
But the judge returned that over, and they ended up having to pay $50,000 in court costs.
Oh my gosh.
Their dream was shattered.
Yeah.
And they couldn't move because they didn't have enough money to move. They wanted to get out of that house, get away from this curse. Even though she was very adamant about being respectful and reburying these items. At this point, like I said, they were completely distraught. They didn't know what to do. They started having health issues, getting sick, different things that they couldn't explain. Mm. They would see apparitions. The one day, Mr. Henley opened up the refrigerator. When he opened up the refrigerator, now in the story, I don't know if they were in the refrigerator or he saw them, but he saw two apparitions of a husband and wife, African-American descent.
Oh, interesting.
In the kitchen. They ended up walking through the wall. Mm-hmm. Out the sliding patio doors as if they weren't even there. Now, we've heard that before where you see ghosts, you know, you're driving down the street, you'll see a ghost, but you won't see its legs. And it's like they're in the street. Well, that's because the street was a lot lower back when the ghosts were walking on. And just like these houses, they do remodeling. I think that what he saw was the apparitions of these ghosts walking through the house, but they could walk through the walls because the walls weren't there when the house
wasn't there. Yeah, it could have been totally different, right?
So he saw this apparition, and that was the last straw. They had to move, but they couldn't afford to move. So they tried a few things, and then they found out that the neighbors next door were experiencing things also.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'm not sure exactly what the neighbors were experiencing, but they had things happen to them. I'm assuming poltergeist activity, because I know that in the Henley's house, they had a lot of poltergeist activity. Doors shutting, doors opening, cabinet doors, you know, all that. Voices, everything. So
tell the listeners about the shoes.
Well, I'm coming to that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The next door neighbors actually sued the company also. But then when they sued them, the company that built the homes actually said, well, we don't believe you. We want to see proof. And the lady next door, I can't remember her name. Lady next door said, you want a body? I'll get you a body. She started digging.
No.
And when she started digging, she actually started to feel sick. So she stopped digging. When she stopped digging, her daughter was there. She's like, I'll help you. Mm-hmm. Her daughter started to feel sick, went in the house, had a massive heart attack. They tried to revive her. Paramedics came out. They tried to revive her, and she passed away.
Oh, my word.
So they, you know, basically stopped, and they didn't pursue the lawsuit. But stuff was happening. The shoes, great example. Mrs. Henley was going through her house trying to find a pair of shoes that she wanted to wear. Couldn't find them anywhere. She ended up going outside. She saw the shoes sitting on the gravesite of the lady that was buried. Now, the lady's name was Betty Thomas. Okay. They found out going through, now this was before all this, you know, when they were suing the company, they found out the information that pair that they found, the husband and wife, was Betty and Charles Thomas. They were buried there in the 1930s. They were the last to be buried. Okay. And they were the two that that gentleman said that he buried in the 1930s.
Oh, wow.
So she found the shoes on top of Betty's grave, sitting there nicely, not just thrown, but sitting next to each other.
Oh, my goodness.
The thing about that day is it corresponds with what would have been Betty's birthday.
No way.
So,
oh, I got goosebumps right now.
So she feels that the ghost of Charles Thomas took the shoes and put them on the grave as a birthday gift for her.
That's so sweet.
As I said before, the neighbors next door, she started digging, but her daughter actually passed away. And they believe that it was one of the curses. Since then, the Henleys were fed up and they moved out. They couldn't afford to move, so they just left everything sit, put the house up for sale, and moved. The new owners came in. They actually found, you know, new owners. They bought the house because these are beautiful homes in a brand new subdivision.
Yeah.
And the price was right. So they sold the home. The new owners came in, and they noticed that things were happening also. One of the things that keeps happening is in the yard and subsequent yards in that development, the ground would fall away as if it was sinking down. But the thing is, it would sink down in the shape of a coffin.
Oh,
and as
it
much
sounds
dirt,
like a movie.
Yeah. Well, there was actually a movie made about this.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
But they found that the dirt kept sinking down. And as much dirt as they kept filling on, it would constantly sink down in the shape of the caskets.
Every paranormal investigator listening to this is like, we're going to Texas. Check this out.
Yes.
Take us with you.
The next door neighbor ended up moving also. Quote is, after we moved, everything changed. When the new owners tried to plant new plants in the yard, they would always die. Oh. All the plants would die. The flowers would die. Whatever they did to try to keep them alive, the plants would end up dying. They tried fertilizer. They tried feeding them. They tried new dirt. But they always felt that something bad was about to happen.
Impending doom.
And the thing is, they did find things that happened. The new owners are talking about seeing apparitions, all the same stuff. So are the ghosts of Betty and Charles still roaming the neighborhood and still causing mischief because their graves were, what would you say,
desecrated? Yeah. I would say yes. I wonder, too, like, at what point does it, and did we talk about this last week? Where, at what point does it become, you know, of historical significance and maybe should be looked at or observed for a history's perspective? Or, like, at what point is it, you know, you're just disturbing somebody's resting place? Mm-hmm. But are they really there? You know what I mean? Like, is that just your shell and your dust? Like, you know, you said the body turned to dust, but where your energy wouldn't stay in that box, would it?
I mean, but so as I was reading this today and as I was listening to stories about this, that came up in my mind is I hear so many stories of near-death experiencers, and they say that they leave their body and they're looking down on this body and they don't even recognize it as theirs. It's just a shell, and they have no emotion for that body.
Yeah, that's why I wonder if, like, is it maybe just the respect thing where somebody, and I don't think these people did it on purpose to desecrate their
grave. But I think that the housing developer or the landowner that sold to the developer knew that it was a cemetery there. Even though that the grave sites didn't look like grave sites anymore because the crosses were all gone.
Yeah.
They knew that there was still a cemetery and they built over that.
I'm sure now in modern times they're doing some kind of survey of the land and some kind of ground penetrating radar before they even build anything, because you want to make sure that it's solid ground. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be a cavern underneath it. Yeah. Or, you don't know.
People have found those also.
I guess the 80s was different times.
And going back to the story is they say that this stuff is still happening now, but I wonder if that was back when they wrote the story in the 80s. Or nowadays, are still things still happening in that subdivision? I didn't have a chance. I was going to look up on the Google. Look up this to see what it looks like nowadays. But I didn't get a chance to. But there was a movie made about this. It's a very popular story. It's a true story. Oh. It's the Black Hope Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
And
I thought you were going to say Poltergeist.
No. But
different story.
You know,
different cemetery.
Yeah. But you got to think of this too. The thousands and or even millions of years that this land has, there could be burials everywhere.
Oh, sure.
I mean, in my backyard, there could be burials. We don't know because this was Native American land.
And you have a creek back there. And a lot of times people settled near water sources or traveled or, you know, passed away on routes.
Yeah.
The Oregon Trail.
Yep. And, you know, just things like that. But this is a very interesting story. I know it's a lot deeper than what we said here, but I would like to know nowadays if there's still hauntings going on. Or did the spirits rest? I mean, they did try to put them back the way they were and not desecrate the grave. But when they opened the grave, they said that the bones turned to dust. Is that the point that they were desecrated and the spirits broke free from that?
Maybe.
And even though it's been from the 30s to the 80s, to the spirit, that could have been 1 millisecond or could be. And I believe, and we always say, well, you know, I mean, like I said, with the near-death experiencers saying that they're when they leave their body means nothing to them. Is it, I don't know how to put it now, but.
Maybe it was the wedding rings. Maybe it wasn't the body so much as them. Because, you know, an object like a wedding ring is going to hold so many years of you know, stone tape theory.
Energy,
love, emotion. It meant something. That was their bond.
And they took it off their fingers.
Yeah.
Even though she put them back.
Yeah.
They broke that bond.
Yeah. That's interesting. We have a place here in Northwest Ohio. It was the former Miami Children's Home, and they did kind of the same thing. They built a housing development over what used to be that. There's rumors that there were burials out there.
I'm sure there were. Yeah.
Marked and unmarked. You know what I mean? Because there was, you know, probably tens of thousands of children that went through there. Who knows? But I've heard, and, you know, we've talked to Haunted Toledo about this, that the people in those houses have all kinds of problems.
I would like to know firsthand. I would love to find
paranormally.
Out. Paranormally. Knock on their door. Do you have any paranormal stuff going on here? Yeah. I have a podcast.
Joe's got a podcast. No. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm sure this happens a lot. I think we've had, you know, multiple instances of like things being built over, you know, mm-hmm. burials.
We did stories about malls and stuff like that.
Yeah, malls. I heard a text or talking to somebody today who said, we were just talking about this certain area in Toledo. And he was like, yeah, there's bodies buried under mm-hmm. this area. And I'm like, what? Tell me more. And it's just spooky stuff happened in the building that he lived in. And it was right by there. And people don't even realize that these were there.
That area is very haunted.
And it's a very old part of the city, yeah. too.
You know, there's a convention coming up here in town. A lot of the people are going to be at. And we're not going, or we're not vending at because we're supposed to be out of town. But I'm going to stop there and I'm going to show Harold from Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunters Society. He's got a booth there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk him out front and show him where the Indian burial mound used to be.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Toledo is a weird city, but cool. I mean, like,
the history.
Yeah.
The Native American history is unbelievable here that people don't know anything about.
Yeah. All kinds of history. Mm-hmm. I mean, from us making Jeeps for the war effort, mm-hmm. To Native American burial grounds, giant skeletons being found, paranormal activity, cool graveyards. We've had stories of elementals, people experiencing elementals in mm-hmm. parks around Toledo, haunted houses, just everything. It's,
yeah.
You know, and I'm sure people have this in every city that, you know, around the country, but you know, we just like it because we live here.
That's right. It's easy for us to find the history because we don't have to drive so far.
Right. You know, I encourage anybody, you know, if you're traveling this summer and looking for a destination to go, you know, you can come here. We have world-class museums. We have a fabulous zoo. We mm-hmm. have tons of haunted locations, great restaurants. You know, it's easy to navigate the city. You're not, you know, having to drive probably more than
20 minutes anywhere to get in the city anywhere.
So it might be fun.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And if you're going anywhere this summer and you might, you know, I'm going to hit a lot of the mounds around Ohio.
Yeah.
And covered bridges, stuff like that. So maybe we'll get together sometime and go somewhere. But yeah, it was a very interesting story today. I found out about the Black Hope Cemetery and the story and the curse. And they say they did make it into a movie. I started watching a movie today.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the time to watch it. And it was interesting. One thing I didn't mention is on the property, they found a tree. It was an oak tree that was twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And there were markings. There was a cross that on the tree.
Oh, cool.
And in the movie, that's the first thing they show. Mm. And they do believe that that tree might have had nefarious things happen during the slavery.
Oh, okay.
But you'll have to watch the movie to find out. And I'm sure the movie is not exaggerated.
Well, Hollywood always puts their spin on mm-hmm. everything.
But I haven't watched the movie yet. I just got to watch the first 10 minutes of it, and I had to go back to work. So,
darn it.
I'm going to watch it and see how close it is to the original, but it's just an interesting story. And if you want to hear about a good story, look up the Black Hope Cemetery story, Black Hope Cemetery Curse. It's very interesting.
Cool. That's awesome, you know. And if we find some other great, you know, cemetery stories, we'll definitely bring them to you guys.
Because we love cemeteries.
I know you do, too.
But thank you for listening this week. One thing I do want to mention at the end, please, if you have not hit subscribe yet, hit that subscribe button. We need your help.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you anything. Just click of a button. Just
click that button. Subscribe. Check out all our shows. Tell a friend. In the show notes, we will have links to Jen's Poshmark page if you're looking for really good prices on furniture. If you're looking for good prices on clothing, she's got them on there. Just check them out. She's got all kinds of things. When you go on there, just hit the search button for color, for style, for shoes, whatever. Just you can search anyway.
Just click away. And if you want, you can use my code, which is HAPPIE22. For a $10 off your first purchase.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's cool. But Joe, I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope all our listeners do too. I know there's a lot of storms around the country, so everybody, you know, stay safe and go out and maybe volunteer at cleaning up a cemetery or something.
There you go. Get a group together. But
And
be careful. Don't use weed whackers. Don't use weed whackers. Don't use chemicals. Don't scrape the actual tombstone. If you want to do it right,
get down on your hands and knees.
Yeah.
No.
Use scissors around it. Don't use knives. Don't use, you know, be respectful because those tombstones will decay faster if you scrape them. There is a chemical out there. You have to look it up. It's the same chemical that they use at Arlington Cemetery to clean the graves.
Oh,
it's
neat.
A pH balanced, right, that it won't eat the stone. Don't use regular soap, all that. Just, you know. Get down on your hands and knees and cut them out with scissors.
And
or
don't
something.
Eat weird mushrooms you find at cemeteries either.
Oh, yeah, man.
We won't tell you the story. But anyways.
No, I
go
did
back
not
and,
eat mushrooms.
No, we just saw some weird mushrooms at cemeteries one time.
And why do mushrooms always grow in circles?
Don't know.
Is that the elementals doing that?
Maybe.
It might be.
Maybe.
All right. Well, thanks for listening this week. We will talk to you next week with another exciting show. Stay tuned. We are in convention season, so we will get you some great guests on here. And like I said, share the show. Click on the links in the description. Check out all the other stuff that we do. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Bye-bye. Stone.